Digital Media Insider, Episode 26, One Glorious Note, July 21, 2008. Welcome to Digital Media Insider from O'Reilly.com. On our website, we explore the future of audio, video, and photography to help you get more creative with technology. I'm David Bettino, and I edit the audio section of the site. Some days, it seems like music technology has become a numbers game. Companies sell software and digital instruments on specs rather than sound. But recently, I was reminded of the joy of great sound when the Fat Man sent me a funny MP3. It was a one-hour recording of him just unboxing a new Mini Moog and setting it up. But he was so enthusiastic that I called him back to talk about the experience.
The synthesizers that you see in pictures of the olden days, with all these patch cords hanging off of them. First of all, make sure you're not looking at a picture of a telephone operator, because, you know, a lot of people make that mistake. Those synthesizers are generally being used not to make pitched music. They're being used to make sort of sonic landscapes, like, you know, that kind of thing. And they're beautiful. Nobody can really explain to you. You know, I took a lot of classes that covered how to make music with an analog synth and make modern 20th century music, you know, and you listen to people's projects and you go, you know, I don't get it. Maybe I'd listen to this while I was getting massage, but maybe I wouldn't. And you'd never know if what you're making is good or not until one day you catch yourself just sitting there with the lights out and turning a knob just a little bit and going, oh man, this sounds great. Okay, I can link you to a tune that I did called Influences, which was the first tune I did on my completed Paya synth. And it's like 40 minutes long. No, 20 minutes long. And it's got a bridge that the sort of bridge section I did on Excaliburito. So it's like pretty, 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 pretty. And then it goes, Excaliburito. Okay, turn down the volume a little. Okay, Excaliburito, baby, do your thing. Wait, is it coming in the right spot? Yeah, okay. Okay. What Excaliburito is my friend Tom went to this website and just built a noise-making synth. And there's this whole type of synth that people are making now that is like just one step past circuit bending. And what it is, it's instead of actually using oscillators, which can be expensive, they use op amps and trick them into cycling, which is cheap, but it just is lo-fi. But it's awesome. Because it aliases like crazy and is completely unpredictable. You could get these sounds. You never have to do a take two when you're playing an Excaliburito solo. And the best thing that it does is when you turn it off, it makes this gorgeous noise. Okay, here. I'm going to turn it off now. I got to get it making a nice loud noise, and then I'm going to turn it off. Here it goes, off.
Like a death rattle or a swan song or something, huh?
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of back in the studio days with tape. You would stop the two synced 24-track recorders, and they would... It would go boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, there's a lot of good noises you can get turning an instrument on and off. The Hammond organ is fantastic for that. I'm going to turn it off. Come on.
You know, I just remembered a story that Roger Powell told me, speaking of great patch chord synthesists. But a couple of years ago, he built his own analog modular synthesizer from a kit. And he told me that the first module he wired up, I think, was an oscillator, just an oscillator and one knob. And he said he sat there for like 2 days and just turned that knob just because it was so glorious.
Oh, well, let me tell you, one of my favorite modules here, I don't have the cable hooked up to it, but I bet I could get a couple alligator clips and get it to run in. This is an Ico audio generator that my dad built when I was a kid. Hmm. And it's a tube machine. It's huge. I'll send you a picture of it. And all it does is just make this beautiful sine wave or square wave. Yeah. Turn down the amp. There it is. Just doesn't get any better than that. You know? And all it is just a sine wave. You can pick the range. That was the way that I'm keeping it hooked up, Dave, is it uses banana plugs.
Huh.
So I've got the two little test probe wires, and I'm holding them to the patch cable. So one of my hands is busy. And now here's a square. Now what some people do is they'll hook up a lever, a great big lever, onto that one knob on the audio generator. And at the far end of the lever, they'll mark where the actual pitches occur so that you have like a manual theremin.
Oh,
yeah. So with one hand, you're controlling the pitch and you're moving it to actual marked spots on the scale. And with the other hand, you're controlling a volume knob.
I think I saw a photo of Wendy Carlos doing something like that.
Yeah. One of the things about a good instrument is, you know, you sit down to play it and you go, wow, this is making really nice sound. Or even this is making crummy sound. But 2 years later, it's making nice sound. And 3 years later, it's making nicer sound. And the more you work at it, the better and more beautiful it gets. And there's no ceiling.
Mm.
That's where Guitar Hero falls short, is that there's a ceiling. Whereas if I put in 100 years of time on this Mini Moog or on a Jew's harp, I'm going to get pretty damn good.
That kind of gets back to the idea of when one note is enough. You think perhaps that one note could be equivalent to the singer in your band, and the singer is the one thing that defines a band, and he's only doing one note at a time.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not just talking about, I know you, to some extent you're talking about monophonic versus polyphonic sounds, but to another extent you're saying, you know, you don't need to play really fast and high and loud if the tone's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's turning the one knob for 3 days idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, your listeners are going to get a real good recording of that oscillator. and also, you know, I'm just going to hold down a key on the... I'm going to turn down the output just a little bit. So I'm going to hold down one key, and I'm going to move the mod wheel a little bit. I'm slowly moving the mod wheel. It's just sweet. Now I'm going to play with the filter cutoff. Just playing one note, but the tones on it are just frankly, you know, when the tone is really, really good, it's just a pleasure to be around it.
And on that topic, you know that I've played with Leslie's a lot. I consider the rotating speaker sound to just be one of the most healing noises that you can be near. And speaking of Dad building the Ico oscillator, he also built a little amplifier for our stereo when I was little, and I was allowed to hold the solder while he built the thing. And I have just finished running our little Hammond organ, which I think used to belong to Joe's aunt, into Dad's amplifier. And it's coming out of Leslie that a friend of ours pulled out of his grandma's organ. But the tone that comes from that combination is just killer. And I sent you a little track. That, you know, that piece has a bunch of tones that you could listen to all day. One of them is a break drum. And yeah, it's the thing that your wheel is attached to in your car. If you have a really old car. So it's a big round chunk of metal, and I hit it with a big piece of plumbing, and it just goes pang, and it just sounds nice.
What I liked about that was that it changed really nicely as well. It wasn't just one tone you're getting out of it.
Yes, you're right. And also a friend of mine just decided that he never was going to learn to play that guitar that he bought in 1960. So he gave it to me, and it's an old, really cheap Harmony archtop called an archtone. And, you know, by itself, it kind of sounds kind of cool. Kind of bluesy. But when you run it through this extinct piece of software called Filter, which I did on that piece I sent to you, that was by Antares, that's another very musical piece of gear. And it adds what this guitar needs to not have to play very much and sound very gratifying. So you hear that. So on that same tune that I sent you, you hear a break drum, you hear the grandparents Hammond, and you hear Bill's old Harmony archtop through...
Right, through software.
Through software. That means through software. Antares Filter has it passed my test, which is it's just hard to make it sound bad. Almost every time that you bring it up and use it, you're glad that you did. And that's huge, because there's a whole lot of things where you maybe buy a piece of software and you go, "All right, you know, the boys in the band are going to dig this. I'm going to get laid now, you know, when the chicks hear this one." Or maybe even when the boys in the band hear it.
Exactly.
And, you know, so you get all excited and you plug in the expensive piece of gear and you're like, okay, give me 10 minutes and I'll get a sound out of it that I like. That's a warning sign. Of course a violin's that way. But there are just a whole lot of things in the world that start sounding good the second you start making noise on them.
For more noise and wisdom from the Fat Man, check out his blog at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. While you're there, you can download all 26 episodes of Digital Media Insider for free. You can also subscribe to the podcast and get each new episode as soon as we upload it. Just search for Digital Media Insider on iTunes. You've been listening to Digital Media Insider, the official podcast of the O'Reilly Digital Media site. Visit us at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. That's O-R-E-I-L-L-Y. And let us know what creative technologies you'd like to explore. As always, I wrote this music using software that I learned about while editing articles for the site. See the show notes for links. For O'Reilly Digital Media, I'm David Bettina.
boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.